phone, guaranteed.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
We're back. Jim Moseley, editor of Saucer Smear, joins us. I'm Gene Steinberg with Chris O'Brien. You're in the Paracast looking at the fakers. Any other Roswell figures seem to have questionable backgrounds or questionable evidence that you know of?
No, I'm not really competent to be an expert on Roswell. I don't think there's hardly... It's coming to me now. Glenn Dennis. Now, Glenn Dennis is probably one of the very, very few principal Roswell witnesses who is still alive. And he, I think the last I heard about him, he was in a nursing home or something. But about 10 years ago, I met him. I've been out to Roswell to the museum there 3 or 4 times. He was a very nice guy. He's very talkative. His claim to fame, it's a long thing. For one thing, which I never believed in the first place because it makes no sense, he was a mortician. He ran a funeral home in the town of Roswell back in 1947 when all this happened. And he got a phone call from the military base asking him to prepare, 6 or 8 small coffins. He was surprised by that. I don't know if he actually prepared them. I don't think he went that far with the story, but think about it. If you had aliens crash in the desert, aliens from another planet, yes, they were small statures, so therefore you would only need a small coffin. Can you believe in all logic and common sense that they would do that? I mean, this would be a highly classified thing, at least we're told to believe that, and you just pick up the phone and ask the local undertaker to prepare coffins for these creatures that are unique and have never been seen before. I mean, come on. So right there, that's the story that he told right from the beginning, and it didn't make any sense to me. But the thing that I'm leading up to is this, and I don't have all the details. There was a nurse that worked at the hospital in Roswell, and the nurse saw these bodies brought into the hospital, and she didn't take a picture, but I think she made a drawing of what they looked like. And she was a personal friend of Glenn Dennis. And so he didn't see the bodies himself, but he talked to this nurse who he apparently knew quite well. And she told him a lot of details about things which, as I say, he personally did not see. Now, this nurse, I'm trying to remember a very peculiar name, Naomi or something was her last name, very odd name. He kept telling slightly different versions about this nurse. Her name changed, some of the details of her story that she told him changed, and it was very questionable all along. But this is the point, and this is very, very interesting. Popular mechanics, which has nothing to do with saucers, and I still don't know why it was that magazine rather than some other, but it must be at least 10 or 15 years ago, they sent somebody out to find this nurse. Nobody through all these years could find the nurse. There were people that tried this, tried that. They could never find her. The investigator from that magazine went to a nursing home somewhere. And the last living nurse from Roswell of the year 1947 was still alive. And it was a small hospital. She knew all the other nurses, and she knew obviously the names of the other nurses and what they looked like and what had happened or not happened at the hospital. The bottom line is this nurse did not exist. Absolutely and positively did not exist.
Let me just add something to what you said, Jim, because you probably haven't heard this, but our listeners have. If you're a regular listener of the Paracast, back on July 27, 2008, we featured an author by the name of Lawrence Spencer, who edited a book, he didn't say authored, he claimed to have edited a book called Alien Interview that purported to present communications with an alien from a retired U.S. Army Air Force nurse. So he claimed to have actually been in touch with this nurse. We never figured out how. We were very skeptical of the claims, but we got permission from him to actually distribute a copy, an electronic copy of the book, if anybody cared. I think a lot of people actually downloaded it. But that legend has gone into weird directions. This guy Spencer, by the way, is very much involved in the Scientology movement also.
Wait a minute, excuse me. Is this supposed to be the same nurse?
Supposedly the nurse.
All right. And he interviewed her and so on?
Now he claims he'd gotten all this data and all this correspondence from her. He published it in a book and then said, oh, by the way, I destroyed the manuscript.
But this is the same nurse, you're sure?
So far as I know, yes.
Okay, the Roswell nurse. Well,
the non-existent Roswell nurse.
Yeah, well, absolutely under the name that he first gave and under the name he gave later and so forth, there is no such nurse. And I remember he, at different times, had versions of what happened to her. Naturally, she got transferred right after this. A number of officers and others at Roswell were transferred right after the crash because of, I suppose that was a way of silencing them or something and getting them out of town. I heard one version that she flew to Europe, but her plane crashed, so that would get rid of her.
How convenient. Though her plane crashed,
yeah,
she's no longer here, sure.
But the other one that I liked better, and this is the least likely to be true, that she joined a nunnery in France, I believe. And that's
She became the singing nun.
Nah, probably not. But I'm telling you, these things sound crazy, but they're just part of the Roswell story, and the Roswell story is just part of a very crazy field. I believe absolutely in my heart that there are UFOs and that they come from somewhere, some realm, etc., whatever it might be. I am very mild these days of the interplanetary theory, and I disagree strongly with Stan Friedman on that. I think he is tied into 1960s thinking in that way, and I don't agree with him at all. But wherever they're from, there are genuine UFOs. I don't think that one crashed at Roswell. I don't know. They may have crashed somewhere else. But there is so much nonsense in this field that it is no wonder that scientists and people of that ilk are not going to sully their reputations by getting involved in this.
Especially in light of this Phil Imbrogno fiasco.
No, but I mean, unless you have the patience, and I have no profession at this point in life at least, and I have plenty of time, but not an awful lot of patience. But the point is, you need to really work on it to separate the truth, the probable truth in this field from the probable nonsense. And that is a very hard thing to do. And it's no wonder, in my opinion, that most people say it's nonsense or they don't get interested and they just let it go. There's only a hardcore of people, God knows, maybe a few thousand or so, that are really interested in a big way in UFOs. And if it's as big a story as it's supposed to be, it's odd that there aren't more people involved in it, but there are not.
Well, everybody likes their answers formulated for them, especially in this modern age with eight-second attention spans.
Just like your friend that we won't name who gave you the information on Phil Imbrogno, most people make up their mind ahead of time due to their own preferences or their religion or lack of religion or whatever. They decide what this is or what it isn't, and then they look at the evidence. It's supposed to be the other way around. And what I'm saying is equally true of the skeptics as it is of the true believers. Am I not right?
Yeah, there's true believers and there's true non-believers. Both sides are going out of backwards.
Yeah, well, to just investigate something in an unbiased way is extremely difficult. I mean, everybody has some kind of a bias. It's very hard to be totally unbiased. But unless you try to attain that state, you're not going to get a proper answer to anything.
Yeah, that's true. Well, that leads us to a question from one of our listeners, and Blowfish is a longtime poster on the Paracast forum.
Tell you what, why we have that on the next segment. Blowfish's question in abeyance on the Paracast. I'm Gene Steinberg. The guest is Jim Moseley. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. You're in
the Paracast. Have you been sitting on a few great domain name ideas but haven't locked them in for yourself? Good. Now you can buy them through the number one domain name registrar, Namecheap.com, as voted by the top tech blog Lifehacker. Just like the name says, you can buy domains cheap, as low as $2.99, and every new domain comes with WhoisGuard, our special privacy service, free for the first year. Now that you know, it's time to grab those domain names before someone else does. Namecheap.com. Go now. Namecheap.com.
Fate magazine provides true reports of the strange and unknown. Keep up with the latest on angels and miracles, psychic phenomena, ghosts, UFOs, life after death, and much, much more. To receive your free issue of Fate magazine, call now at 1-800-728-2730 or visit their website at www.fatemag.com. That's 1-800-728-2730. What are you waiting for? Your fate awaits.
Gold. If you listen to the radio, watch TV, or surf the net, you are hearing about gold. Eventually you will ask yourself, is gold right for me? The answer might surprise you. We protect ourselves and our families from many things. Do you have medical insurance? Is your home insured? Do you carry life insurance? How about financial insurance? If you own gold, then the answer is yes. If you don't own gold, the question is, why don't you have financial insurance? We put our faith in things we trust. Do you trust the dollar? Do you trust the economy? You trust the government. Gold has always been something you can trust. For thousands of years, people have put their faith in gold. Where will you put your faith? Now is the time to protect yourself and your family. Call Midas Resources today at 1-800-686-2237, extension 242. 1-800-686-2237, extension 242. And ask for Jim Parker. Let me help you get started today. 1-800-686-2237. Extension 242.
Local Army Navy surplus stores are hard to find these days, but not military issue supplies. They're right here online at mainmilitary.com. That's right, just like the state, M-A-I-N-E, military.com. We have everything for true, total preparedness. MaineMilitary.com is not a typical website. It has much more than your old surplus store. Quality military-issue survival gear like canteens, mess kits, utensils, gas masks, filters, and chemical suits, magnesium fire-starting tools, strike anywhere, waterproof, and storm matches, first aid kits, splints, tourniquets, parachute 550 cord, military manuals, sandbags by the bale, and a huge Molly assortment of vests and pouches for every need. Call 207-989-6783, 207-989-6783, or visit mainmilitary.com. That's M-A-I-N-E military.com, the main name in military supply.
If you drive for a living, you don't get paid to stop or wait in line. Keep your wheels moving with PrePass. Bypass way stations. Fly by port of entry facilities. Stay moving at highway speed while the guy without PrePass waits in line. Save time, save money. Call 888-401-PASS to try PrePass free. That's 888-401-PASS.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
We want to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And if you want to catch up on past episodes, we have hundreds of shows for you to download direct from theparacast.com. That's theparacast.com. Or check us out on iTunes.
We're back with Jim Mosley, editor of Saucer Smear. Co-host is Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg on the Paracast. We're discussing the fakes, the frauds in UFO research. We had a question from a regular listener. From down under, I think. He's from the other side of the pond, Blowfish. What's his question, Chris?
Well, he's got a number of them, but one has to do with Roswell. And he asks, is Roswell just a Cold War military intrusion by spooks or a military biological accident turned into a well-planned UFO hoax? What are your thoughts on that, Jim?
I don't understand the question.
Well, in other words, is it our military monkeying around and then making it appear to be a UFO crash, or possibly some sort of military exercise or technology gone awry?
That's the $64,000 question, I suppose. I mean, as we Roswell addicts know, at the very beginning, the Air Force in Roswell made a statement that was carried on the radio and the two newspapers there, that a flying saucer had crashed near Roswell. And that's interesting, the use of that term, because just to divert a little bit here, when we say flying saucer now, the first thing that comes to your mind is something from another planet. But in those days, that wasn't it. If it was going to be an unidentified thing, such as a flying saucer, it would probably be something from Russia, because that was what was most in our mind. Not space people, but it was the beginning of the Cold War around that time, and actually we had a right to be frightened of something that might be a scare of some kind coming from our mortal enemy, Russia. So when they made that announcement that a flying saucer had crashed, they were not saying space people, but that apparently is how a lot of people took it and started making up these stories about space people. After, I forget, just a few hours, they changed their story and said it was just a balloon. And, of course, the true believers don't accept that, because they would much rather think that it was a flying saucer of the interplanetary type. But the facts are, in my opinion at least, and it's too long to go into, but it was a balloon, a very strange, unusual, at that time classified group of balloons all flying together in a train of some sort. And it had a purpose that was classified, but it must have looked quite a lot like a normal balloon would, and the debris seems to look very much like that also, and that's what I think it was, and a lot of people agree with me, and a lot of people don't.
Yeah, that's, well, I'll tell you, if we ever get to the bottom of this particular mystery, I will be very surprised.
Well, you know, just one other little thing. The Roswell crash happened in 1947. In 1978, Bill Moore, a well-known UFO writer, and Stanton Friedman, I'm not sure if they were working together from the very beginning or not, but anyway, they started investigating the Roswell crash. That's, what is it, 30-some years after it happened. Up until that time, there was no Roswell mystery. It's barely mentioned in any of the early literature in the UFO field. I think Frank Edwards, in his book, mentions that he has about a paragraph about Roswell. It was forgotten in Roswell. It was never heard of anywhere else. I was interested in saucers as far back as 1947, and I never heard of it until the first book came out, which was in 1980, co-authored by Bill Moore and Charles Berlitz. And that opened the floodgates. So we've got over 30 years now of book after book after book. I mean, it's unbelievable how this has grown with time, when for the first 30 years it was as if it never happened.
It was Charles Berlitz's fault.
Yeah.
Berlitz, it's interesting. He just lent his name to the book. Berlitz was famous for having written the Bermuda Triangle and several other offbeat books of that kind.
And by way of very minor footnote to history, is I helped provide him with a lot of information for the sequel to the Bermuda Triangle book.
What was the sequel?
It was all about the Philadelphia Experiment, that kind of thing.
Well, that was the next epithet, which came first. He co-authored a book with Bill Moore about the Philadelphia Experiment also. Do you remember which came first? They were about a year apart.
Bermuda Triangle came first.
No, I mean, which of the... did the Philadelphia Experiment book come first, or the Roswell book?
You know, I'd have to look it up.
Well, all right. But anyway,
I would have to look it up. I think the Roswell came later. It was first when I knew Berlitz back in the late 70s. We were talking about the Philadelphia experiment. We were talking about Bermuda Triangle. That was the big thing. Roswell was the final straw.
Well, the the Philadelphia experiment is, I mean, I don't think we should even waste our time talking about that. I think that is the most utter pile of nonsense that I've ever heard in my life. And
there was a movie, by the way, a couple of movies about it, probably based on the book, loosely, but it was all about invisibility experiments during World War II, et cetera, et cetera. Let's
right.
not go there.
Right.
Well, here's one for you, Jim. Have you heard about this new Annie Jacobson book on Area 51 that has the aside in there about Roswell being a Soviet psyops? What do you think of that whole scenario?
Saucer smear is up on that, and when you get the marvelous new issue that is going to be out in a week or so, you will see a book review of that and a review of two or three other very interesting recent books, including one by Dr. Alexander that we were talking about before. You can ask me or tell me anything you want about that book by, Jacobson?
Right.
Is that her name?
Annie Jacobson.
Yeah, right. Well, I mean, her version of Roswell is the worst of all. I mean, you can tell it or I'll tell it. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense, and it's in there just to attract attention, and indeed it worked. I mean, that book was reviewed by the New York Times. It's been written up all over the place. She's been interviewed on many shows. You ought to try to get her on your show, Gene.
We had several listeners threaten us if we did.
What?
We had several people on our forum say, don't you dare get that woman on here. And
why that?
Lower your standards to her.
Oh, well, now, come on. That is a major book by a major publisher. Just because she's lying in her teeth doesn't mean you can't have her on the air.
It might be fun to get her on and maybe, I don't know, kind of poke a few pins into that big old Jacobson balloon.
Yeah, well, I mean, I've got the book sitting here. It's huge. I have not read it. I rarely read a saucer book. I did read Dr. Alexander's book, which I think is very, very good. This book, how can I put it? I don't care what they're doing at Area 51 unless it has something to do with saucers. I mean, that's just how I feel about it. I am not a technical person, having no degree from anywhere. I know that a lot of secret weapons and secret aircraft have been worked on at Area 51, and that's all very good for people that want to know the history of aviation.
I'll tell you what, we'll get into the history of aviation, Area 51, but more importantly, the paranormal, which is what Jim is really interested in. Jim Mosley's our guest. Chris O'Brien's the co-host. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
Ray Perkins, a reclusive veteran burned out from the Gulf War, lives tortured by relentless, perplexing nightmares. Nightmares of a horrific battle in deep space and of a mysterious woman suffering in agony for her devastated world. A woman not yet born, calling across centuries to him. Then, a coincidence leads him to his destiny, his chance to alter the universe. Attack of the Rockoids. The former fiction editor for Star Wars and Indiana Jones, Robert Simpson, writes, "The soul of the novel Attack of the Rockoids lies in its heart and passion for building a convincing tale of a love that spans a galaxy. A thrilling story. Attack of the Rockoids is available now. Read a sample chapter and get a special discount off of the cover price at our website, rockoids.com. That's rockoids.com. Attack of the Rockoids. A novel in the grand science fiction tradition."
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LeCig. Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LeCig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LeCig.com. And LeCig smokes the competition by serving thousands of worldwide customers with real people customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LeCig.com, spelled LeCig.com. LeCig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
Is your church, school, or organization desperately looking for new fundraising ideas? Tired of the same old candles or candy, taking orders, inventory, and low profits? Well, here's great news. 10X Fundraising guarantees 10 times traditional profits with zero hassle. For an amazing free bonus, free shipping, and an extra 10% off, enter GCN when you go to 10xfundraising.com. That's the number 10, the letter X, fundraising.com. Or call 800-480-8797. Visit 10X Fundraising for 10 times the profit today.
Will you survive during the economic collapse or another deadly natural disaster? Your key to survival lies here at hardshoes.com. A former member of U.S. Special Operations knows what you'll need to survive in these hard times. Our online store arms you with extreme survival kits, self-heating food reserves, and more. For a limited time, with any purchase, you'll also receive a 3-day survival kit absolutely free. Prepare now. The online store, www.hardshoes.com. www.hardshoes.com.
The food storage industry leader has done it again.
Introducing FDG Clubs and Survival Bucks from the Freeze Dry Guy. For over 39 years, the Freeze Dry Guy has served various government agencies and the private sector with the finest in storable foods and emergency rations. If you've wanted to build emergency food supplies but couldn't afford it, now you can. Go to freezedryguy.com, click on products, and look for the Freeze Dry Guy Clubs to pay as you go.
Now you can build food storage without going into debt.
Choose from a payment range of $95 to $450 per month.
Our clubs work with everyone's budget.
Plus, when you join Freeze Dry Guy Clubs, you'll get additional rewards. For example, this month, get 10% back in survival bucks on all purchases in the Freeze Dry Guy product line, plus free shipping within the lower 48 states on any order amount. Hurry, go to freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. The Freeze Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
This is the Paracast. You never know what's going to happen next.
With every segment of this show, Chris O'Brien's pronouncement, the Paracast gets more and more enthusiastic. You notice that? Jim Mosley's our guest, editor of Saucer Smear. And by the way, let me remind people, because Jim had a momentary senior moment then, the address is P.O. Box 1709, Key West, Florida, 33041, and they take love offerings.
Yeah, 33041, you're right, I did... I was about to give you my zip code when I lived up in New Jersey, which now I can't remember either. But anyway, yes, I'm glad that you...
07024, I remember.
Yep, that's right. Well,
P.O. Box 163. Don't send letters to that address, by the way, because somebody has that box today, and they will get these letters from Paracast listeners asking about a saucer smear, and they will freak. Okay, so the point being... As far as Annie Jacobson is concerned, you're concerned a little bit. You're kind of fascinated by her slant of Roswell, but Area 51 doesn't light your fire.
Well, yeah. I mean, as I say, I'm not interested in the history of aviation. Of course, a lot of strange things have been seen in the skies around Area 51 because they're testing all kinds of things. But the question is, do they have a captured flying saucer, one or more, captured saucers, and are they reverse engineering, I love that phrase, reverse engineering this saucer or these saucers in order to further our own aircraft industry? And I think the answer to that is no. And if the answer is no, then I'm not really concerned about Area 51. I went there once, not all the way there, but I took an insane trip in a van, from a point south of Las Vegas, Nevada, up to the Area 51 section of northern Nevada. And I never saw any part of the base. I didn't expect to. But the guy driving the van freaked out, literally, as soon as he saw the signs by the road about, you know, no photography, military area, implying, you know, the use of deadly force, et cetera, et cetera. I don't know what happened to him because he had been there before. He had a business, I guess, of driving people up to this section next to Area 51. As soon as he saw the sign, he turned the van around. He didn't give us a minute to even jump out and take pictures of the sign. And then we drove all the way back to southern Nevada. It was about a 14-hour trip round trip, and I never had such a horrible, boring time in my life. That's another reason I don't like Area 51.
You have issues around it. Boy, I'd be upset, too. You drive all the way up there, and then the guy never even stops. He just turns around and heads back.
Well, you know, I guess, I don't know if he spotted it or not. There is a legend that they have, not a Jeep, it's some other kind of vehicle. There are people watching you as you're going along the dirt road there.
Yeah, that's no legend. I've seen film footage of them.
Pardon me?
I've seen video footage of the security guys, the Wackenhut or whoever they are.
Yeah, right, right. Oh, yeah, no, they're there. But, I mean, they're not going to shoot you on sight or anything. I have no idea why the guy acted that way. But the point being that, as I say, Area 51, if it doesn't relate to the UFO mystery, which I think very likely it does not. And by the way, Dr. Alexander says the same thing in his book, which I just finished reading. That one I actually read, and that will be reviewed in the next issue of Saucer Smear also. Very good book.
So, yeah, tell us what you really liked, or what do you like, the objectivity of his viewpoint, or his logic, or...
What I like is, it's a long story, he and a group of other people who were sort of in the inn or whatever, maybe he's bragging a bit, but hopefully all of this is true. They got together a secret investigative group, this is a number of years ago, and to make a long story short, with their security clearances and their knowledge of the military and the civilian defense contractors and so forth, they interviewed a whole lot of very high-level people that we can assume that someone else would not have an opportunity to interview, or if they did, they wouldn't get the same kind of answers. And the bottom line from all of that, which is very long and complex, is that they found a lot of, what would we say, groups or institutions in the government, civilian and military, where the people they talked to said, yes, there is a flying saucer project, but it is not in our institution. It's somewhere else. I don't know where it is, but it's not here. And that's the story they got everywhere. Sounds like a couple of dozen places or more. And so at the end, although they couldn't prove it, it just seems obvious, from at least from what they learned, there is no such government investigation. It's not here. It's not there. It's not there. And in the end, it's not anywhere.
Is that also maybe a way of deflecting attention? You say, I don't know about it, go that way, and you have your fingers pointing in opposite directions.
Well, whatever. I don't know. But that would indicate, which I happen to believe, that we don't have captured saucers and that the military don't know a whole lot more than we do about what saucers are. And there's also a bias against investigating them because the whole subject seems to be so crazy. So, if there is very little interest by the federal government in the subject, it is no wonder that you can't get better answers from them, because do you think the Air Force or anyone else or the President want to come out and make a public statement and say, look, folks, we've been bothered by some very strange sightings for a period of 60 or more years now, and we really don't know what it is. It doesn't seem to be anything made on Earth, but we haven't been able to figure out what it is and where it comes from, but don't worry about it. Now, you're never going to get any such public statement, but that would be very close to the truth if there was such a statement ever made.
Parenthetically, I recently became acquainted with a former Mossad spy from Israel, Victor Ostrovsky, and he's an artist. He's also a publisher and a printer, and he might be printing one of our books, as a matter of fact. In any case, he says what he observed in his experience, and he's dealt with governments, We think the Israeli equivalent of the CIA has got to be one of the top agencies out there. He says the problem with governments is they are all incompetent. Learn, they're all incompetent. So how can you expect them to hold a secret as important, if UFOs are real, as a UFO mystery? How could you expect that if they are, at the core, incompetent?
Well, in other words, you're saying you couldn't keep that important a secret.
Absolutely not. It would leak. It would leak like a sieve.
Well, that's another great thing about Alexander's book, because he explains in detail why that is. In brief, no matter how many black projects you have and all of that, and there is a fortune spent by the government in black projects that we are not told about at all, but if you wanted to create, for example, a black project investigating saucers or pulling them apart to see how they work or whatever, you would have to take the budget for that black project away from some other project. And you're talking about very large sums of money. And to, again, make a long story short, you cannot do that without drawing attention. There is some degree of oversight, even on black projects.
Well, I beg to disagree with you on that one, Jim. I mean, look at Donald Rumsfeld. The first thing he did when he got in as Secretary of Defense is he did a complete top-to-bottom audit of the Department of Defense and, of course, announced that they were missing $2.2 trillion the day after 9/11. So,
I'm not familiar with that. Why would they do that just right after 9/11? I don't know.
Well, it was a scheduled hearing, I think.
And Rumsfeld said that they were missing how much?
$2.2 trillion. $4 trillion had been misappropriated and was there somewhere. It wasn't in the right place, but out of that $4 trillion, 2.2 of it appeared to be missing.
Before we looked for the case of the missing money, and by the way, I have it under my mattress in case you're looking. I'm Gene Steinberg. Our guest is Jim Moseley. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. You're in
the Paracast.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter, and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also, print catalogs. Convert from so many formats I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
The number one secret to having great health and long life is having high levels of glutathione. This master antioxidant is required by your body to stop free radicals, keep cells young, remove chemical and heavy metal toxins, support immunity, support liver functions, stop inflammation, and much more. The results of optimal levels of glutathione in your body are more mental and physical energy, stronger immune system, greater endurance, and more. Do you know the number one secret superfood that helps increase your glutathione levels by 64% or more? It's unheated whey protein powder from grass-fed cows. This health food is amazing in its ability to do so much for virtually everyone. Introducing One World Whey, an industry-first unheated whey protein powder from grass-fed cows. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldwhey.com. That's oneworldwhey.com.
Are you tired of spending money for metal canning lids year after year? Then stop!
Stop buying metal lids and get Tatler reusable canning lids. Made of USDA and FDA-approved food-grade plastic, Tatler canning lids let you safely store emergency preparedness foods for years. Traditional metal lids are single-use throwaways that contain BPA, but Tatler canning lids are indefinitely reusable and guaranteed to last a lifetime when used as designed for home canning and contain no BPA. Tatler lids are dishwasher-safe, perfect for standard pressure or water bath canning, eliminate food spoilage from acid corrosion, fit standard mason jars, and are proudly made in the USA. Place orders by phone at 877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's 1-877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's reusablecanninglids.com. Tatler Reusable Canning Lids, the original since 1976.
You've heard great things about Berkey. You've been thinking of getting a Berkey water purification system, but for some reason, you haven't made your purchase just yet. Okay, here's one more reason to buy the best water purification system you can buy now. The Berkey guy at GoBerkey.com is giving away free Pelican flashlights. Yes, with every purchase of any Berkey water purification system from the Berkey guy at GoBerkey.com, you'll receive a free Pelican 2360 LED flashlight, a $39 value. But it won't last long, only now through July 15th. Hurry, call 877-886-3653, 877-886-3653, or shop online at GoBerkey.com. That's Go, BERKEY.com. No coupon code necessary. A free Pelican flashlight is yours with every purchase of any Berkey water purification system only at GoBerkey.com or by calling 877-886-3653. Hurry, offer ends July 15th.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
This is Jacques Vallée. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
We're back with Jim Moseley talking about fakes, frauds, and such in the UFO and paranormal research. I'm Gene Steinberg. Chris O'Brien's the co-host on the Paracast. So we were alerting Jim to the fact that $2.2 trillion unaccounted for, and we're worrying about budgets of $1.5 trillion. The money's there. It's just that we don't know where it is. It's under, not my mattress, somebody's mattress.
Well, I don't know. I had not heard that statement. I don't remember reading it or anything. I'll bet that was a, let's say if there was a follow-up, as there must have been, I'm sure they must have located most of it sooner or later. I mean, that sounds like just a scare headline kind of thing, but I don't know.
Well, I've never seen anybody come up with a follow-up to that. I would have to check in my files.
If it was that important, believe me, there would be a follow-up.
That's a lot of zeros.
Yeah, I mean, that's... that's not petty cash. I can see the. I can't explain that to you. But Dr. Alexander, at least for his own purposes, convinces himself and hopefully others that basically that's there is not as much to this mystery as we like to believe. But at the same time, he is like I am, a 4D thinker or whatever. He thinks that the interplanetary theory is less likely than other theories, but that whatever it is beyond our technology, and it is a definite mystery, and I am sure he makes it clear that it borders on the paranormal, which is what I also believe. I think all those weirdnesses are different aspects of a whole realm that we do not understand and probably will not understand for quite a few years to come.
We've kind of moved a foot from that question from Blowfish. We had part one. Chris, is there a part two or three we need to answer?
Oh, yeah, there is. Good day, Mr. Jim Moseley. Betty and Barney Hill, frauds or legitimate case?
Well, frauds, that's, you can't answer it in that way. They believed that they had an experience. They did have an experience. I don't think they made it up. Just what their experience was, I do not know. There are a lot of weirdnesses and loose ends there, too. Whether they physically went aboard a spaceship, maybe not. And maybe it's false memories. Maybe there were dreams that they contaminated each other with. I really don't know. I have met Betty Hill a few times. She lectured for one of my conventions in New York City in 1980. And she is undoubtedly, nobody, especially Friedman, ever wants to admit this, but she is a fantasy-prone individual. A very nice lady, but I would not believe her in detail about anything as unusual as that. All I can tell you is that she spoke at our convention, and I don't know, maybe a couple hundred people in the audience. She gets up there, and after her well-known contact experience that we've all read about, she kept having other minor experiences up near where she lived, and she went around taking pictures of alleged UFOs here, there, and the other place, and she had slides of them which she was showing to our audience. Unfortunately, these slides, most of them showed an absolute blank sky, or there'd be a blank sky, dark, in other words, with maybe one pinpoint of light somewhere, and slides of that nature. And she lost the attention and the goodwill of this pro-saucer audience. I kid you not. This is the, I think I wrote it up in my book. I'm not sure, but it's a very strange and rather amusing incident. And I, as host of this thing, actually jumped up on the stage where she was speaking. And, I mean, they weren't going to lynch her or anything, but, I mean, they were turning against her, and there were boos here and there, and I said, you know, look, folks, Betty Hill is our guest, and we must treat her, blah, 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 in a proper way, and so forth. But that's how believable she seemed to be to a pro-saucer audience, and that's something that about Betty Hill that is not very well known.
Wow.
Wow.
I never heard that she claimed that she had other experiences after
that.
Oh,
yes.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, absolutely. I think it was because she did have this one experience, and I guess she liked publicity, liked attention or something, and after it, not before it, but after it, obviously as a result of her abduction or whatever, she became very interested in the subject, and I think she had a little group up near where she lived. I forget exactly where she lived, somewhere in New England.
New Hampshire, I think.
Oh, yeah, New Hampshire. And she just went around seeing things and taking pictures of things, and most of them were reflections on a railroad track or an airplane or God knows what. These were ridiculous pictures, but they were meaningful to her.
Well, maybe the trauma of the original experience was so much that she kept looking for more evidence in places that maybe it didn't exist. I'm just taking the devil's advocate position.
Let's go back
to the core experience, really, Jim.
I was just trying to tell you that is
sure.
A very good point. Yes, good.
Let's go back to the core experience, though. You feel something really happened to her and her husband, as described what?
As I?
Do you feel they were abducted or what?
Well, they think they were. I wasn't there. I don't think they're making it up, as I say. It could have been a delusion or something placed in their mind, beamed in by some outside intelligence, or it could have been a physical experience. The thing that drives me right up the wall and I think is utterly ludicrous is the star map. You see, interplanetary travelers, I don't know much about them. I've never met any of them, but I don't think they have crude third-grade maps with lines between planets and stuff that explain where they're from and where they're going. The whole idea of the star map just makes me sick, I think, I'd have to say. And yet, Friedman and I guess some other people still think that's just very important evidence there.
Well, of course, here in the 21st century, we have lots and lots of cars with navigation systems.
Yes, we do. Yes.
And, you know, that's today, the 21st century on Earth. Any car, almost any car, can be equipped with navigation. They have optional navigation systems. They have onboard navigation systems, even in compact cars. You know, you buy a car $15,000, $20,000, but that's more sophisticated than the star map.
Yes, okay, absolutely.
So we're dealing with this civilization that has to be far more advanced than we are. If they're traveling among the stars, if they have some navigation system, it's probably a 3D immersive kind of system that would be way beyond our understanding. A star map? I worry about that, too.
Well, I don't know how an intelligent man like Stanton Friedman, and I've known him for years, met him many times. I don't dislike him, but he is a character. And some of the things he believes in are very strange. And that's all I can say. As a scientist, he makes a lot of mistakes, I think.
I suppose then you don't agree about the MJ-12 documents. You have to be skeptical about those.
Absolutely. That's another thing in Dr. Alexander's book. He knocks off MJ-12. What else? There's several of the stalwarts in the saucer field that he doesn't agree with. But he does believe in some of the cases. One that he's very interested in, and so am I, if you are a regular reader of Saucer Smear, which I'm sure you are, Gene, you would know that I am very interested in the Cash Landrum case. And
yeah.
He talks about that also. A very, very interesting case. And there are dozens and dozens of very interesting cases that are just unexplainable in normal terms. And so, based on that, I believe there is a genuine mystery here. But as I said before, so much of it is nonsense that it's disheartening to any objective person or scientist or whoever that might want to get into this thing and get to the bottom of it. It's just a quicksand type of thing, I guess. I don't know how to describe it.
Well, then we could also use that other point. Maybe the government is disinterested, or maybe people in the government feed this nonsense to us, like an MJ-12, and these other cases, just to get us going in the wrong direction. So whether they care about it or not, at least we're not looking in the right places.
Well, you know, this is kind of interesting. It takes a minute to tell, but apparently...
I'll tell you what, we have 30 seconds, so instead of using that minute, let's do this here. Let's append that discussion. Let's have that discussion in our next segment, because we have Jim Moseley. The publication is Saucer Smear at P.O. Box 1709, Key West, Florida, 33041. So you don't forget it. Co-host is Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
Hi, Ted Anderson announcing a great way to listen to radio on the telephone. By calling 760-569-7700, you'll be hearing GCNLive.com programs in seconds. Come to GCNLive.com, find your favorite host's dedicated phone number, and hear them 24-7. You heard me right. Every show has a dedicated phone number. Stop by GCNLive.com and bookmark their number today. And again, that's 760-569-7700. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.